This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We spend the next hour looking at issues facing the grocery industry as these businesses and their workers find an even more important role in our lives amid this COVID-19 global pandemic. We start with two representatives from United Food and Commercial Workers, the UFCW Local 75. It represents 30,000 members across Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. President Kevin Garvey is on the phone. Kevin, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having us, Michael.
And we also have the union's Director of Organizing, Political, and Legislative Affairs, Bill Benner. Bill, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Michael. Happy to be here.
Cincinnati Edition also reached out to Kroger to participate in this discussion. We will actually be having them on towards the end of the program. At the top of the show, you might have heard us preview that we would be talking about the Instacart and Amazon employee situations. We'll have to reschedule that for another time as we have added Kroger as sort of a late addition as they finally agreed to come on, and we look forward to that conversation a little later on. But again, we start with UFCW Local 75. President Kevin Garvey, I want to ask you, there's talk that employees at these grocery stores should be considered first responders during this crisis. Can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that?
Well, Michael, you know, our members in the retail and packing and processing sector are you know, they're essential employees and should be treated as such as other frontline responders and should be recognized for the same benefits and subsidies as other responders are entitled to. And, you know, I'll let Bill talk a little bit about how we are. Well, we have other governors in other states that have recognized the grocery industry as first responders, frontline responders, and I'll let Bill talk a little bit about it, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, Bill Benner, please do that. You are the Director of Legislative Affairs, so you deal with governments. What's the difference that you see from state to state in the ones that recognize grocery workers as first responders and those who don't?
You know, and it's kind of a patchwork, Michael. So that's been the difficult thing trying to track some of this. But the big difference is that kind of essential employees or first responders or whatever status each state is using to designate these folks really opens them up to receive benefits, whether it's the child care provisions or different things, funding mechanisms coming down, being in line for personal protective equipment and things like that. These designations will be very important for our grocery workers on the front line to make sure that they receive access to these benefits. Now, we've seen early on Minnesota, Vermont, Michigan have made declarations just earlier this week. Kentucky has come out. Grocery store workers here in Ohio have been included in the executive order as far as essential employees go. They've been included in the pandemic child care here in Ohio, but continuing to push for these essential service providers to have other subsidized child care and things like that. There's still some costs associated with a lot of these programs, and making sure that our folks who are on the front lines of this can go to work and take care of our communities and our families without having to worry about what's going on at home as well. So.
And Kevin Garvey, you are the president of the union. What are you hearing from employees? I know the stores are just so busy right now throughout just about every day. Kroger in particular has reduced its hours so that they can restock each night. How are the employees doing?
Michael, the volumes are overwhelming. It's something we've never experienced before. The employees are doing well. I mean, they're extremely busy. I'm very proud of the work that they're doing to take care of the customers in our communities. But, you know, my focus right now is to try to work out arrangements with all the employers we contract with to try to make it as safe and sanitary as possible. The majority of our employers, financially speaking, really stepped up to the plate, you know, with additional hero pay, I'll call it. But, you know, you can't throw money at everything. It doesn't fix everything. It's really, as Bill had indicated, it's the PPE equipment providing that safe and sanitary condition. On the retail side, the majority of our employers, if not all, have plexiglass shields up between the customers and the front-end personnel, the masks, the gloves, constant supply of hand sanitizer has been a challenge, but we're continuing to meet that challenge. Marking the floors for social distancing, you know, to try to keep customer awareness, you know, keep some space between them and our members and the employees. You know, we've had talk with our employers on the retail side, that is, with, you know, utilizing lanes as a one way. You know, when you shop an aisle, you don't have people running into each other, trying to create some sort of organized flow. And this is a work in progress, but still something that needs to be recognized. And the bottom line with you is that as the media keeps projecting this continued spread of the coronavirus, there's a lot of fear and anxiety. And we've worked out quite a few options with the employers to get people off the schedule if they need to. You know, medically speaking, people that are at risk employees, all the employers have developed excellent policies to deal with our members, their employees, their family members who test positive as far as compensation is concerned. So we are prepared and we're doing the best we can to maintain these standards and try to deal with the volume of business on the retail side. Of course, we see the same thing on the wholesale side with our packing and processing. It's just overwhelming amount of demand and for supplies and orders. Not to forget our medical side either. We have folks in the nursing homes and MRDD units that are frontline, exposed every day, trying to make sure that they maintain access to the proper PPE.
Bill Benner is UFCW Local 75 Director of Organizing, Political, and Legislative Affairs. And Bill, I've seen images from other states where they've got customers waiting outside and there's a certain distance between them and they're allowing certain amounts of time before other customers can go in, basically a cap on how many customers can be inside. Is that something that's been discussed for our local states?
You know, we are in discussions about pushing certain recommendations and guidelines out to employers as well. I think as Kevin had just mentioned, it's kind of a trick. You know, some of these larger format grocery stores, it's a little bit more challenging to come up with a policy and a program that will work for business, get people moved through and also protect workers. Maybe something a little bit easier in some of the smaller format stores, but we are continuing to work with both our legislators and other government entities and our employers to try and push for different ways we can be creatively pushing social distancing in these sites.
Each day, the governors of Ohio and Kentucky offer their daily briefings, and they've become mandatory viewing for a lot of people to get the latest. And any time that there's been an extension on which businesses are required to close down in order to increase social distancing so as to decrease the spread of COVID-19, both governors have emphasized this does not impact grocery stores. So those are the markets, the retail markets, where people will continue to come throughout this pandemic, it appears. And though some precautions are being taken inside of these stores, you reference plexiglass and the additional gloves and all of that, there's still going to be a lot of people in there and might not necessarily know
Correct.
Their status. I've read that some food processing plants are screening employees for temperature and symptoms and that sort of thing, but that's not being done on the retail side. And let me take it back to you, Kevin Garvey, president of the union. Is that something
Sure.
that we could see down the line?
Yeah, Michael, you are correct. The majority of our packing and processors are doing temperature checks and conversations. Our largest signatory employer is the Kroger Company, and recent conversations, they are in the process of rolling that out. Should be real soon. So other employers as well. You know, we contract with the Meyer Company out of Grand Rapids. They've done an excellent job as well. So we're doing everything we can. It's just, Michael, it's getting access to the equipment, right? When you start looking at the volume of people, when you're talking temperature checks and things of that nature, it's a daunting task. If we had access to these supplies, it would already have happened. It's just a question of logistics. But to answer your question, yes, it will be happening on the retail side.
Do you have a timeline for when that could happen?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to say, If you give us another week, as they say, by the end of next week, I'm hoping that we can start rolling some things out.
So by the end of next week, customers who are going to retail grocery stores that are represented by your union, what would that look like exactly?
Don't know just yet. Actually, in reference, I was talking to you about the employees, our members, right? Temperature checks. As far as the customer side, I'm not sure what that would look like just yet, Michael. It's so premature, but... It's in the works, I can tell you that.
Okay, and Bill, let me ask you, you represent Local 75, but this is a national union. How is the union nationally coordinating with the locals on this? Because we see that different states have reacted differently. Some have been criticized for the way that they've responded. Others have been applauded for the way they've responded. How has the union across the country coordinated its efforts?
You know, I really have to give our international president, Mark Perrone, and his whole team across the board a lot of credit, because they've really stepped up and helped us craft what our priorities need to be and should be. They've done an excellent job of helping us share information with each other on best practices and things where you know, everybody's kind of doing separately across the country, so we can share best practices. You know, they've really kind of been the standard bearer thus far on promoting the issues that we're bringing to you today. So,
well, let me ask you, Bill, how frequently are you in conversation with government officials? We see these briefings every day. I do believe that in both Kentucky and Ohio, we've seen representatives from the grocery side included at least once in the presentations. But how often are you in contact with the government, and what are those conversations like? I'm sure you want to know something from them, and they probably want to know things from you.
Right. You know, this kind of work is constantly ongoing, having those conversations. You know, I'd be a liar if I said it was always perfect. But you know, I think a lot of doors have opened up to us during this time to be able to have those conversations. I'm talking to folks multiple times a day in different states, different state agencies, different branches of government, even about what's going on, what we're doing, what our priorities are, how they can help us implement those things, and then kind of what is coming down the pike from the government. So it's constant. Most of the conversations are very good. Most of the folks are doing this for the right reason, and you know, it's obviously our job to continue to advocate for our members, and we're doing that every chance we get.
Is there any difficulty in dealing with the states as they take different actions based on, you know, their border? I mean, we're right here in Cincinnati, which can include a coverage area of three states, and if you watch the news, you might hear reports that are different depending on which side of the border you're on. Has that presented a challenge at all for preparing your workers?
It has, to a certain degree. You know, some states implemented stay-at-home orders in different timelines and different periods than others. So, you know, I think it brings us multiple challenges, both trying to track what's going on in each of these states and how it affects our membership, but also making sure that we're funneling accurate information out to our membership as it pertains to them. You know, obviously we've got members that live in Ohio and work in Indiana, or live in Indiana and work in Kentucky, you know, and every combination thereof. So making sure that we're getting the information to the folks has been somewhat challenging. But as you mentioned earlier, the press briefings have been somewhat helpful to kind of help coordinate kind of where we're going and what we're doing and where each state is at. But it's an ongoing effort to track all of this stuff and continue to stay up to date. But we're doing that as best as we can.
Kevin Garvey is the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers, UFCW Local 75, which represents 30,000 members across Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And Kevin, something that I'm curious about is grocery stores are often first jobs for young people. So there's a lot of teenagers who are working at these places right now.
Yes.
Are there particular concerns for the youth who are working in these environments?
Oh, there are, Mark. Well, not only the youth, but the elderly as well. I mean, as I had indicated earlier, the at-risk group, you know, all the employers we work with on the retail side, it's primarily Kroger, Meijer, CVS, Rite Aid, Chief Markets. These employers are not going to force anyone on the schedule. If people don't feel comfortable, they feel at risk, they feel exposed, we have set up procedures and processes to get them off the schedule. If they have PTO, if there's ways to generate income for them, we will, and we'll take care of them the best we can. But you're right, you know, with the massive layoffs and the requests for unemployment in the recent week, and the numbers are just unprecedented, but people are looking for work. We have, you know, across the employer base, we have a significant increase in applications for people looking for work. So the people that are there now, if again, they feel at risk, they feel uncomfortable, they feel they don't want to be there, we've had set up arrangements to make sure they're taken care of.
And I guess with all the schools in our region being closed for the foreseeable future, are you seeing these teens who would otherwise be in high school, are they picking up more hours? And is there, does that present a challenge in any way?
Not necessarily. You know, we have, you know, contractual arrangements that allow people to pick up hours by seniority or as needed. And again, in this environment they're in, you know, if someone's looking for work and they're looking for additional hours, it's very easy to come by. Just an overwhelming volume of business and sales for the employers.
And so when folks are applying to work at these places, since there are jobs mm-hmm. available in the grocery industry right now, in spite of the freeze and other places, what type of coronavirus-related precautions are you taking before bringing someone on? Or are you seeing the corporations take?
Yeah, I would have to say that that's probably an employer-based question. I can tell you this, Michael. Once they enter the stores, they are treated and receive the same PPE and safe and sanitary conditions as everywhere else in that location.
Bill Benner is the Director of Organizing, Political, and Legislative Affairs for UFCW Local 75, which represents our three states and the grocery workers within them. And Bill, I guess I would ask you, we saw these bonuses come to the workers on the front lines here in the grocery stores. Do you want anything from the employers on the other side of this? Do you want to see a regular increase in pay? Do you think that the workers that you represent have demonstrated a need for that?
First and foremost, I'll say absolutely. You know, I'll defer to Kevin because we've had a lot of our employers, and he mentioned it earlier. He can speak to some more of those specifics. But a lot of our employers have been stepping up. You know, Kroger did an initial round of bonuses. They've come back and added an hourly rate for all folks working during the pandemic. Continuing to make those pitches is something we're absolutely advocating, and also continuing to push for all of these things coming from the federal, state, and local levels to make sure that they're including all employees, whether they're our union members or not. If they're working in these industries, they need to be taken care of, and we're here for them. We want them to know that. We want our members to know that, and we want to continue to advocate for working people in Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and across the United States.
And Kevin, from the public side, do you think that the public will have a higher appreciation, not to suggest that there wasn't an appreciation before, but a higher appreciation for workers in these fields?
Michael, I could tell you this. This pandemic will cease and it will pass in time. And history will show that our members, employees in the retail sector really stepped up to the plate. And it puts a whole different perspective of how people view these individuals. They all have children, spouses, parents, grandparents. They all have the same fears and anxieties as the other ones that get to quarantine in their homes. And they step up to the plate every day. And they give everything they have. I'm very proud of them, and I think the public supports us. And again, historically speaking, as time looks back, it'll be very well received, and we'll be in a better spot.
And to recap what we've discussed here with these two union representatives representing commercial and grocery workers in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, a couple of things that appear to be possibly on the horizon are potential temperature checks for customers entering the stores, possibly by late next week. We also hear that there may be, I guess, one direction, one-way aisles, so as to avoid the grouping together that can happen when the stores get to be too crowded. So that all seems to be relatively new for some of the grocery stores around here. Before I let you all go, though, since we are talking about coronavirus and COVID-19 and the impact, we've been spending a lot of time talking about tests, and I'll let you answer this, Kevin. Do you think there need to be more tests available so that your employees could have access to them, so your workers that you represent?
No. Yes, absolutely, Michael. You know, we have people who may have demonstrated symptoms but can't be tested, you know, and on a, you know, with the supporting medical documentation, they are being requested to self-quarantine. They're taken off the schedule. They'll be treated accordingly, and the employer's policies are recognizing that and taking care of these individuals. But if we had the test available, there wouldn't be any guessing. Right? We could tell right away. And as far as the temp checks, again, you know, on our packing side, it's for our members, for our employees. And as we go forward, the temp checks on the retail side will be for the members and the employees. We have to talk to the employers about customer temp checks.
Okay,
just,
so then
yeah,
let me just correct that. That's not what you're not saying that customers will be checked before they go into the store.
I can't speak for our employer base. All I can tell you is these are continued PPE safety sanitation conditions for our members, their employees, to make sure that things are as safe as they can possibly be.
Okay, well, I appreciate you clarifying that. It was unclear to me when we first talked about it, and I apologize for saying something that must not have been correct. I do want to thank both of you, Kevin Garvey and Bill Benner from UFCW Local 75. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
Michael. Very good, Michael. Thanks for having us.
And just ahead, later in the show, we'll be talking to a representative from Kroger. We can follow up on some of the issues raised here. There is more to come. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. What happens when a grocery worker falls ill during this pandemic? We will talk to Kroger a little later on in the show about that. But for now, we're going to be talking to Judd Legum. He is the founder of Think Progress and the author of Popular Information, a politics newsletter. He reported that Kroger's policy previously varied, but also that Kroger has since made a revision. Judd Legum is on the phone with us. Judd, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. So on March 15th, you reported that Kroger's sick leave policy varies around the country. Some employees said to you that they receive no sick leave, while others do with restrictions. Later on, you updated that story, I guess about 6 days later, saying that Kroger is significantly expanding the sick leave policy for COVID-19. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you first reported and then what happened after that?
So there's really two issues. There's the sick leave policy as it existed before this pandemic. And what I found was it did vary a lot throughout the country. There's places where it was available for full-time workers after 90 days. There were places where it was available for full-time workers, but only after a year. And there were places like in Texas where I talked to people who worked at Kroger or Kroger-branded supermarkets for 15 or more years and didn't get any sick leave, depending on their union contract or if they were unionized. And then on top of that, there was a second issue, which is, like many companies, Kroger rolled out a special sick leave policy, paid sick leave policy, for COVID-19. But initially, it was very restrictive in that it required either a positive test, a diagnosis, or a formal quarantine order. And the point that I made in my initial report was it would be hard for a lot of people to qualify for this because tests are still hard to come by. At the time I initially reported, it was almost impossible to get a test. And then secondly, people are being told to self-quarantine. So they're not really getting handed a quarantine order. They're being told, if you have symptoms, stay home and quarantine yourself.
And we're talking with Judd Legum. He's the founder of Think Progress and the author of Popular Information. That's a politics newsletter. He recently reported about sick leave policy at Kroger. And so what role did this reporting, do you think, play in the conversations that must have taken place at the corporate level?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but I did hear from a lot of employees on the ground. And as you noted in your introduction, about a week after I published my initial report, they did make a significant change to their specific policy for COVID-19, allowing people who experience symptoms to get paid sick leave or who place themselves into quarantine to get paid sick leave, as long as those decisions and those symptoms were verified by their physician. So that is somewhat difficult these days, but it's certainly a lot easier to get in contact with your physician than it is to get an actual test, an actual diagnosis, or some sort of formal quarantine order. So I think it was a significant move by the company, and I think it was the result of both reporting and kind of getting the facts out there about what was going on at Kroger, but also the employees themselves advocating for themselves and what they needed to keep themselves a little bit safer.
In your report, I'm going to quote it here. It says, Kroger's new policy is not a substitute for real paid sick leave. The pandemic will eventually end and workers will be back where they started. You go on to report, even now, many Kroger workers will not get paid if they stay home for an illness other than COVID-19. What does this tell us about the way these employees are handled by such a large corporation?
Yeah, and I think it's important to keep that perspective in that really, you know, this is obviously a very serious pandemic. It's very contagious, but there's other very serious contagious illnesses. Even the flu is not something you should be going to work with. And if we want to protect ourselves, if everyone wants to be protected, I think what this is really made clear to me, and I think more and more people are realizing this, is even if you have a good sick leave policy at your workplace, if the people at your grocery store, your gas station, the places you rely on and interact with every day, if they don't have a good sick leave policy, you could be put at risk, because those people are going to have be forced to be in a position where they might either have to A, go to work sick, or B, not get paid and not be able to pay their bills. So, these obviously, it's important that these COVID-19 specific policies actually deal with the issue. But once it goes away, we're going to be back where we started.
And you do note that Kroger and Amazon are exempt from the congressional mandate that employers with more than 50 or fewer than 500 employees to provide 14 days of paid sick leave during this pandemic. So they don't have to follow that order.
Yeah, and that was really perplexing to me, is that it was the second coronavirus bill. We've now had three this past. But in the second one, there was a very aggressive paid sick leave policy that not only required companies to allow workers to accrue paid sick leave, but also with the declaration of a health emergency, which is pretty much all 50 states now, obviously, because we're dealing with this pandemic, every employee would automatically get 14 days that they could use for paid sick leave. But then this only applies to smaller companies with less than 500 employees. So as a result of that, 80% of employees are exempted. And I think the idea was, well, people who work for large employers already have this benefit, or maybe that the employers would step up and do it. But from my investigation and reporting, that's simply not the case. And in fact, some of the people who are most at risk, including people at supermarkets, including people who work at Amazon, are people who sometimes do not have really any paid sick leave to rely on.
In your reporting, you compare Kroger's response to that of Publix, which is a supermarket chain that's in the South. I don't think we have any of those in our region. What did you find when comparing those two at first?
Yeah, and I think that probably played a role. You're going to talk to them later, so maybe you could ask. Maybe they'll tell you, or maybe they won't. But to me, that seems significant in playing a role in Kroger switching their policy, is that Publix started out with a much more relaxed policy, allowing workers to stay home if they have symptoms, allowing them to stay home and get paid if they self-quarantined, or even actually in Publix's case, to take care of someone else who was in quarantine. And I believe in Publix's case, according to the policy that I've reviewed, they do not require a doctor, that they're sort of entrusting the employees to make these decisions. So Kroger didn't quite go that far, but I think the fact that a major supermarket was able to put in place a much more relaxed policy, I think, you know, may have influenced them. And I think one thing to keep in mind is that as the economy is slowing down and sliding into recession, clearly probably already in a recession right now because so many businesses are shut down, supermarkets are doing very well. Kroger said that its sales were up 30%. And I think all supermarkets are doing well because people are eating out less. So these companies are really in a position right now where they can afford it, and I would argue that they have a moral responsibility to keep these employees safe.
Judd Legum is the founder of Think Progress and the author of the political newsletter Popular Information. Judd, we so appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Kroger, of course, is not the only grocery store in our area. So what is happening at the other ones? Joining us on the phone now is Kristen Mullins. She's the president of the Ohio Grocers Association. Kristen, thank you for being with us.
Hello, and thank you for having me, Mike. Happy to be here.
It's our pleasure to have you. I guess the first question should be rather simple. If Kroger's not involved in your organization, which groceries are we talking about here?
So we have, you know, in our membership, everyone from the smallest mom and pops, the convenience stores out there, up to and including some of the other, you know, the other bigger chains, like, you know, Meijer is a member, Giant Eagle up here in the northern part of the state is a member. But we have all of those smaller independents, and that's the majority of our membership. And, you know, they cover, you know, the state. And they're serving their communities out there. So that's who we are.
How are some of those smaller independent grocers responding in this crisis?
Well, Michael, I think they're responding very well. I think, you know, as a whole, our entire industry is really, you know, stepping up to the plate. Like, I think what's been mentioned, you know, by some of your previous interviews here this past hour, but, you know, they're doing everything they can. First and foremost, they are certainly trying to protect their employees. So whenever possible, you know, with the shortage of the PPE out there, that, you know, they are supplying gloves and masks and hand sanitizers, and they're doing extra protocols within their stores to make sure that their stores are safe for our, you know, our customers. So they're surviving. They're doing well. I know the last interviewee talked about how, you know, sales are up. I just want to remind everyone, though, that grocery stores, you know, we work on a 1% profit margin. So it's all kind of relative, right? Because, you know, yes, our sales are up, but then so was, you know, our inventory costs that were up there. So everything is all relative. But to say that we are not, you know, doing well would certainly not be the case.
So you mentioned Meijer. That's, of course, a large grocery as well. But when it comes to the supply chain that we've all learned so much about, when shelves are being restocked overnight because of the high demand at all of these large grocery stores, how do the independent ones, the Main Street grocers, keep the products on their shelves during this time?
Yeah, so we work really well with our processors, with our wholesalers, to try to make that happen. It's certainly been a challenge, you know, when people take to stockpiling, you know, what they have in their homes, and there's a little bit of, you know, fear out among the consumers, then it does put a bigger demand on our stores. But, you know, small and large alike, I think our wholesalers are doing a good job to ensure that, you know, that the products are spread across the state. You know, we're still, you know, beefing up. There's still some miles, I'm sure you're seeing, that aren't quite as full as they've been in the past. But our retailers are doing all we can to make, you know, to get that back into play and to make sure that everyone realizes, you know, our supply chain is secure. Our supply chain is not going to run out of food. You know, they're not going to be, you know, short. These customers can go out there and get the food they want. Like, they just need to do it like they normally do.
I know you mentioned that grocery operations tend to operate on a 1% profit margin. I'm wondering if stores that are smaller in nature are benefiting at all from a commercial standpoint. If the Kroger down the street is out of toilet paper and paper towels, for example, are you finding that customers are turning to alternatives?
I think they're certainly shopping maybe outside of their normal trips in search for those products that aren't there. But I think, you know, there's a shortage like everywhere. I don't think it's, you know, it's certainly not just a Kroger problem. It's certainly not just a small independent problem. This is an industry problem that's come out of the high and the quick demand from our consumers. So, you know, I think certainly our smaller stores are seeing, you know, an uptick in their traffic and in people that maybe they've never seen in through their stores before. But I think, you know, when this is all over, it's all going to kind of balance out and people are going to go back to their normal shopping, you know, patterns, if you will.
One thing that we often hear about smaller stores, and I'm sure this applies to small grocery stores as well, is, you know, the different level of competition with the larger corporate entities is that you can't sell the product as low because you're not buying as much. You don't have those resources. What's happening during this crisis where people are shopping all the time? Is anything changing with the pricing, or are the smaller stores being impacted negatively in any way because of the way that they have to price things compared to the larger stores?
Well, I guess I would say, you know, not any more than is normal. Like, you know, like, of course, you know, like someone like a Kroger or Meijer, they've got a bigger buying power. So, you know, products are being brought in at a cheaper rate. However, you know, products are going up because of the supply or the demand that's out there already. So if consumers are seeing an increase in pricing, it's because of the demand that's been so high out there. You know, there's certainly, like, we are very, as an industry, you know, as a whole, you know, committed to providing and selling our food at the lowest minimum cost. And I think that's true for all sizes, you know, Kroger and the bigger guys, and of course, you know, all my smaller independents. But I wouldn't say that they're being hurt more through this. I just think that, you know, we're all facing these same challenges. And it's just on a different scale, a different level.
We're seeing at Kroger locations across the region these plexiglass dividers going up at the checkout aisles as an attempt to protect the cashiers, the workers at these locations. Are smaller stores having difficulty accessing those sorts of materials? Do they even know where to look if you're a small Main Street grocer?
Yeah, well, so we've tried as our association to try to provide some of that information to them. Because I do think they are trying to put all of these different safety measures in place. And so, you know, we've tried to find some sources to if should they not know where to go. I think it's becoming more and more common knowledge out there. And I think not only are we reaching out to those manufacturers or those suppliers of those things, but they're reaching out to us too. So I think it's just a matter of you know, getting the time to get them in there. And, you know, we're trying to do lots of things in our stores. You know, we're marking the 6-foot radius in our grocery store lines. You know, we're doing higher increased protocols on our cleaning and sanitizing. You mentioned the sneeze guards. You may have noticed, you know, stores have shut down. Anything self-service. So you can't go to a salad bar. You can't go to an olive bar. No self-serve drinking fountain, you know, anything like that. So we're doing what we can to do that as well. And if I could, I would like to say, you know, we would ask that the consumers out there, you know, do their part as well. You know, like we ask that, you know, you shop alone. You know, don't bring the family when you go to the grocery store. Let's let one person do that. Let's shop for a week, maybe not just a couple days. Let's shop, you know, for just a week, though. Don't think you have to stockpile for 2 months. You know, and other things, like take your own temperature before you leave, you know, your home and before you go to that grocery store. Because, again, you know, we understand our people out there, they are, you know, on the front lines. They're being exposed on a regular basis. And, you know, we just can't thank them enough for being there and making sure our people have food.
Well, we accept that advice from or for the consumer. My last question to you would be, though, what do your member groceries need in terms of protection or disinfectants? Is there anything that's lagging behind when compared to larger stores? Obviously, I'm not talking about Meijer. As you mentioned, they are one of the larger ones, but you represent a lot of independent stores. I'm curious about their status and what they might need.
Yeah, so we're concerned, again, going back to that PPE, you know, like we have a shortage of hand sanitizers. We have a shortage of disinfectant wipes and things, and we're having to, you know, to create our own or to make other arrangements, you know, masks and gloves and all the things that, you know, we were typically using anyway to provide safe food, you know, when we were handling raw food. And now there's just an added need for, you know, additional, because you have other people in the store that weren't typically using this that are using them. So we are just concerned that, you know, while we certainly understand and appreciate, you know, the need in the healthcare sector, you know, to be able to provide, you know, safe contact, safe food, you know, we need some of that supply as well.
Ohio Grocers Association President Kristen Mullins. Kristen, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Up next, we talk with an executive from Kroger. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We've spent a good chunk of this hour talking about Kroger, so now let's talk to Kroger. Joining me on the phone is Kroger Group Vice President of Corporate Affairs, Keith Daly. Keith, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure to talk to you. So I know this is such a unique time for your industry. We did talk to the union leadership that represents a lot of workers who are employed by Kroger. And I just want to start with some of the things that I had heard from them just as a way of advancing what I had heard. There was a suggestion that as part of the additional enforcement of social distancing within the stores, that it could be explored to make some of the aisles in these stores one way. Is that something that's being considered?
That is something we're considering. In fact, we're beginning to test one-way aisles in a couple of our stores right now. And as you might imagine, in the current circumstances, any test we're doing is fast. We're taking the immediate learnings, and on the pieces that work, we're extending those or scaling those across the business. And I'm glad you mentioned the union. In fact, just this morning, our CEO and the president of the UFCW International Union, Mark Perrone, and several of our other executives had time to spend a couple of hours connecting on what we are doing together in partnership to ensure that our customers and associates are safe in the midst of this unprecedented pandemic. And having good partners with our customers, with our associates, and certainly with the unions, that really makes a big difference and demonstrates that we are all, in fact, in this together.
We had also heard from the union that possible temperature checks could be coming for workers in the coming days. Is that something also on the table?
It's certainly a possibility. What we're starting to see around the country is places like Dallas, Texas, that have mandated it at the local government level. So we're doing temperature checks in places like Dallas. We're working to procure thermometers that we can use across our 2,800 store locations, and then also, importantly, in our distribution centers and in our food manufacturing facilities and dairies around the country. So that's a potential next step for not just us, but really for the industry and for the country.
And we're talking with Keith Daly. He's the Kroger Group Vice President of Corporate Affairs. And Keith, one part of the conversation I had with the union that got to be a little clumsy, and we tried to clean it up there at the end, I guess I may have misunderstood what they were saying, or they misunderstood my question, was that customers could be tested. And I think they said that's something to ask Kroger. That's not something that they have any confirmation on. Do you see a time during this pandemic where you would need to test the customers before entry to the locations?
I'm sorry, not test, but
temperature check, I should say.
Totally understand. And I appreciate you clarifying that, because I was referencing specifically temperature checking our associates is something that we're anticipating as a potential next measure, particularly as the pandemic progresses and as we approach the apex in a number of communities or states around the country. Temperature checking customers is not something that we have had as much discussion about, but I have to tell you, you know, much like government officials around the country and at the federal level, and much like the Centers for Disease Control, we're really trying to approach this, you know, a day at a time and one week at a time. Obviously, everything that is happening is evolving fast. There's new information coming out regularly about what we know about COVID-19, about its transmission, and about the best ways that we can all work together to continue flattening the curve. And so we'll be continuing to look to health authorities, the CDC, and working closely in partnership with our government leaders to ensure that we're doing our part.
You mentioned, of course, that you are testing already one-way aisles to ease some of the social distancing problems that customers may be encountering in the stores. You've also put up plexiglass barriers in certain parts, particularly near the cashiers. There's a lot of cleaning going on around the Kroger locations. I'm wondering, what has been the biggest challenge inside the stores as we're all being asked to keep a certain amount of distance that does seem somewhat impossible while shopping in these crowded times?
Yeah, and I will tell you, you know, that is something we are really asking and encouraging our customers to help us with. We're taking a number of aggressive measures in our stores. First and foremost, and most importantly, our associates are working really hard to maintain for themselves and for our customers the appropriate physical distancing measures, maintaining 6 feet of distance at all times and whenever possible. You mentioned several of the other steps we've taken, including enhancing our sanitation practices, more regularly and more rigorously cleaning, especially commonly used areas like cashier stations and self-checkouts. We will have these plexiglass partitions at all of our check lanes, our pharmacy and our Starbucks register locations across all of our stores by early next week, if not by Sunday. And we're using signage both at the front of the store and throughout the store, including decals on the floors, to help our customers remember to maintain social distancing, but also particularly when they're checking out at the store to queue up and allow sufficient distance from each other. So all of this is behavior change that we're all being asked to do very rapidly. And I have to tell you how proud the entire company is and our leadership team is of just how incredibly effective our associates have been at adapting to these frequent changes while still continuing to provide the best service that they can for our customers at a time when they really need us most.
Has there been any talk about the limit on the number of customers that can enter a particular location? We've seen that at other grocery chains across the nation. There's been a lot of social media posts of people waiting in line with their carts before they can even enter a store. Is that something we could see within the Kroger company, particularly here in this region?
I think a number of the steps we're taking today to promote and maintain social distancing in our stores are really the right steps for right now. So continuing these safety measures, really encouraging our customers and other partners in our stores to help us maintain that protocol is ultimately the most important thing. And in everything we're doing, we are working to balance our most urgent need, which is providing for the safety of our customers and associates, with our societal obligation, which is maintaining open stores that are stocked with the products and the essential items that our customers need right now.
Social distancing is certainly a term that we've all become quite familiar with over the past several weeks. And when we're in a store, we know to try to do it, but it does become difficult. Is there a way to enforce it in the stores?
Well, like I said, we're doing everything we can to enforce the social distancing in our locations. We're using a variety of measures to promote the physical distancing. We are, in addition to some of the pieces I just mentioned about signage and floor decals, we are also using our in-store radio to have frequent messages reminding customers about the importance of physical distancing. And another step we've taken, which I'm sure your listeners are aware of, is we've adjusted our store operating hours to allow more time for our associates to clean the stores, replenish inventory, and rest. And so having that slight limitation on the store day, we think is another effective tool and again, balancing our work on maintaining safety, playing a role in flattening the curve for all of us, while also continuing to have the store open and available for customers.
I know that Kroger has increased the pay for the employees during this period. Senator Sherrod Brown has suggested that they should also get hazard pay. What's the company's position on that?
Mm-hmm. We absolutely agree that our grocery associates and really all grocery and food supply chain workers right now are the true heroes of this story. We are just incredibly proud of how tirelessly and selflessly our associates all around the country have worked to be there for our customers and for our communities when they need us most. And as a result of that, we, in fact, just a couple of days ago announced a hero bonus for all of our hourly frontline associates, which is a $2 an hour premium pay for the hours that they work. And that follows closely from an initial appreciation bonus that actually pays out tomorrow, April 3rd, which was based on work for the previous several weeks in our stores. So we think, this is one way that we can express our appreciation and our gratitude, not only to our existing associates, but also to the more than 30,000 new associates that we've hired just in the last 14 days who've recently joined our family of companies.
Keith Daly is the Kroger Group Vice President of Corporate Affairs. Keith, we do appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Rick Andres. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. Don't forget to contact us at the Talk to Us app. Excuse me, on the WVXU app in the Talk to Us tab. I'm Michael Monks.